And welcome to the Diagnosis Infertility Podcast, where tears, encouragement, and laughter will fill your soul. My name is Andrea, and my medical chart reads infertility. But I prefer to think of myself as an IVF warrior. Because even though I now have two little humans in my house, that diagnosis not only has stayed on my medical chart, but continues to drive who I am. And when I was in the thick of it, it controlled who I was. I hated my body. I did not take care of myself. My mindset was totally off and I obsessed about getting pregnant. And maybe you can connect with that too. If so, this podcast is for you. Here, it's all about real talk and giving you validation in that annoyingly real and raw emotion through this journey. As a health and life coach, I not only want to share my journey, but set you up with success as you navigate your own fertility struggles. Buckle up, lady, because here we go. Hey guys, and welcome back. I have this super handsome, incredible guest host with me today. Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So far, you've been my favorite guest host.
And the only guest host.
That hopefully will change someday. I'm hoping to get more professionals on in the industry of infertility.
I am a professional because I went through it.
This is true.
I mean,
how dare I discredit that?
Yeah. Thank you. Maybe opinion based and my feelings based and not scientifically based or medically based.
But to be honest, I think that the feelings based and the opinions based are just as important as the scientific based, because a lot of what we do should be like a gut reaction. Like we should feel good about it in our gut, and hearing from especially men who have gone through this, I think is highly important because one, I don't think we ask the men in our life enough what their experience was through infertility, but also too, I don't think men share a whole lot of what their experience was.
No, I didn't.
Right. Which leads us here. And you guys, I have to tell you this in our last episode. A lot of the things we talked about was like the first time I ever heard Mark say that. So now it's just been a running joke for the last month that I just need to put a mic in front of his face whenever I really want to like dig down into his feelings and stuff. So even prepping for this episode, I was like, okay, what did you experience when I was so controlling and didn't let you do all these things or wanted you to do this or that? And your response was,
let's find out.
So I was putting my headphones on. And I was like, oh, I'm a little nervous for what you're going to say about your experience with this.
And I mentioned that I was also nervous because I don't know what's coming out of my mouth.
So we're going to dig in here. So, okay. So today's topic is we're just talking about how insane I was. And I use the word insane. I should use the word intense. How intense I was about what I would want, what I wanted you to do.
And not do.
And what not to do. Exactly. And so, okay, when we're thinking about this, like what comes to mind for you of things that I wouldn't let you do?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is I love hot tubs and saunas and I was not allowed to go in them. Another thing that came to mind, and I'm only bringing this up because my cousin called me out on it, saying, I didn't realize that Mark liked edamame so much. I don't. I just kept on regurgitating edamame a few times. And so, but I couldn't have edamame with my sushi.
No, because soy had linked to like soy having a decreased quality of sperm or sperm count or something like that. And you love sushi and you love going out and having edamame. And I feel like as soon as, again, I was intense about this, but I feel like as soon as I was like, hey, let's not have edamame, that maybe that ramped up your like desire.
That cut to the core.
What do you mean cut to the core?
I don't know. I just, when I wanted it, I wanted it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to the hot tub. I remember sure. I like basically like forbid you to go into hot tubs because I feel like, and I didn't research this, but I feel like from my memory, it like impacted your quality of your sperm for up to 3 months.
Yeah, and sperm counts and things like that. And I'll never forget the time that I really struggled with not going in the hot tub was the weekend that my family would come to town and we would all stay at the Holiday Inn in Detroit Lakes. And all of my cousins were sitting in the hot tub and I didn't even want to go into the pool room because it was so hot and who knows what could happen. But I could not go in the hot tub with them. And so that was hard for me for whatever reason, just because it's like the forbidden fruit, right? I mean, I wanted to do it because I couldn't.
Right. And so then, but you wanted to.
I wanted to.
And I wouldn't let you.
Correct. But I wanted to not go in to the hot tub as well, right? Because I knew what it meant to try to have a family.
Oh, see, now I actually can vividly remember this weekend and when I wouldn't let you do that either. And it's so hard to know, like, as a woman, if the man is on board, like if your spouse or your partner is on board with all the intense or ridiculous things you're wanting them to do. So I didn't actually know you were on board with this, because to be honest, like the way that we interacted that weekend, I would say you were very mad at me about that.
I was mad at the situation, honey, not at you.
And this is funny, guys, because I'm always like, Mark, are you mad at me? And Mark's response all the time is,
I'm mad at the situation, not mad at you.
Okay, so you were angry at, what were you angry about?
Not being able to sit in the hot tub. I thought that's pretty clear. I just wanted to sit in the hot tub, but I didn't because I knew what it meant.
Okay. right. So anyway, so what did that do for you? Like, that was your choice as well, or was that my choice for you?
Well, it was your choice for me, which then turned into my choice for us.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Mark is getting life coached right now.
Yeah, I'm getting life coached. You know, I've been coached a lot of ways, but never with my life. Sorry. Well, you know, what did it do for me? I just felt like I didn't have control of the situation, right? I like being in control, just like you tried to control the situation to have kids. I wanted to be in control of being able to sit in the hot tub when I wanted to sit in the hot tub.
Very much. And I recognize this now that I took that control away. One thing I've been really working on too is that, like, everyone is their own individual person. Like, I can't control you more than I can control the situations around me, right? And so, being able to set you up with, like, the information and then you make the decision on what you wanted to do would have been a better thing.
Yes.
For me to do.
And for me.
And for you. Would have been a better thing for our relationship and for us. I remember not being, being pretty immature, to be honest. You know, like, still pretty young, but, like, so obsessive about getting pregnant.
Can we rewind just a little bit and talk about immaturity and what I had said to your dad one time?
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Can you share the story? Because I think I was so nervous to talk to her dad.
So this was the second or third time
I had ever met Tom.
Yeah. So we were in my dad had picked us up at the mall or something, whatever. We had to be in the same vehicle as my dad. It was just the three of us. And Mark sat in the front seat and I was in the back seat. And Mark was telling my dad about how, like, he was born very premature, like came home and was in a little fun incubator.
In an incubator for a while. And my grandma thought that she'd killed me when she was watching stuff.
Anyway,
she didn't. I'm still alive.
So anyway, Mark was, like, I think so nervous, but also trying to impress my dad.
No, I was nervous.
And so he told my dad, yeah, I was born 3 months immature. And my dad's response, he just, like, laughed. He said,
your dad's like, oh, I'm 42 years immature. So I knew that I found a good family.
Yes. So anyway, you know, being young and not growing quite yet and not experiencing enough to know that, like, we should be talking about different things and educating each other on either stats or research or each other's emotions for that matter, and letting the other person choose what they want to choose, because we can't control each other. And I very much attempted to control you and your actions during infertility. And like I said, I recognize that now, but I know it was because there's so much out of our control. Mm-hmm. So much out of our control that I was just grasping. And, like, honestly, my life started to spin out of control. And so I was really grasping at straws to just control anything. So Okay, so that was, I think, one of the biggest ones. And I do remember when you would go on different work trips, and I feel like I would try to hide your swimming trunks.
You would, yeah. You wouldn't let me take my swimming trunks, and when I would go somewhere warm, if it was during the winter, she would demand that I didn't have any cigars while I was out there because smoking tobacco does stuff. Granted, I can go without smoking a cigar. I do it all winter because I'm not going to stand outside. Ain't nobody got time for that. But, when I'm on the golf course or something like that, I love having a cigar or two.
Yeah. Yes. This is bringing back all of the things that I did. So I see you now and I apologize.
And I accept your apology.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't let him, which it turns out he was choosing to comply with that, because you could have gone behind my back, which I think you did a few times. Like, I'm pretty sure you just grabbed your swimming trunks.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, a handful of times.
Not a handful of times. It was maybe twice, and then I felt bad.
Oh, see, look at this. It just is like this whole ring of controlling and then you feeling bad. And, like, what would you say that did to our relationship?
I always felt like I was good at compartmentalizing things, but maybe I didn't. I know that it probably caused a lot of additional stress, knowing that I, needed to be very conscious about, where I was at, what I was doing, what I was having to eat, what I was drinking, if I was working out. Another thing with trying to get pregnant and doing the best as you can to make everything work for you is controlling your health, and I started to let my health get out of control a little bit, and it also brought you closer to me because you were encouraging healthier habits. And so not only did it cause some additional stressors on my life, but you also helped propel me to be a better person from a health standpoint. So even before you decided to go on this venture of life and health coaching, you were trying to coach me.
I was. This has been 13 years. No, not 13 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And I kind of feel like Oprah. Oprah was, she's had her moment. She's been skinny. She's been fat. She's been skinny. She's been fat. I'm on the fat end again. And so now I'm making my way back down to current Oprah. I think she's skinny again.
Okay. But skinny Mark. I like that. Although what we were talking about yesterday with your health habits, right? It's not all about what you look like and being skinny, but it's really just about being healthy and feeling good and being strong and like your cardiovascular health. And so, I can't remember. Was I like super on you about exercising when we were trying to conceive, or was I more just like really obsessed about your sperm?
Yeah. You're obsessed about my sperm.
Your testicles.
Yeah. Yeah. It got to the point where we were trying everything under the sun that we possibly could, even going to acupuncture and reflexology and things like that. And I came to fall in love with reflexology during it. So that was good. Oh, hi, Kona.
You ended up going monthly to reflexology until our reflexologist, Tanya, moved to Texas.
Yeah. Thanks, Tanya.
Yeah. We miss her. So she gave us these little like foot charts, and we still rub each other's feet. That's probably one of my favorite things that we do, is we like lay on the couch and we rub each other's feet.
And we have yoga toes that Tanya sold us. And then her sister, Tasha, was our acupuncturist, and they were so much fun. Andrea loved acupuncture because she would fall asleep and finally be able to relax when she had all the needles sticking in her. But when I did it, I would just stare at the floor and my mind would race for 20 minutes, and Tasha would come in all quiet and say, "Now, how was it?" I'm like, it's finally over. I mean, don't get me wrong. It felt good. And with that said, the results that the doctors showed from doing those two things, I mean, my sperm count increased, my motility increased. I mean, there are some scientific research results based off of me that proved that what they were doing was working.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely remember signing you up for that. And do you remember that detox that I signed you up for?
That was terrible. And then I got connected to Tanya and it was a lot better.
Through that. Yeah. I don't even, whatever. I just remember you said that, like,
it was disgusting. It was so gross. What it was I put my foot in, or my feet in a foot soaker, just a little bath with regular water, and they put some chemical in it, and they the gal had said, the reflexologist had said, that it's going to detoxify you from the bottom of your feet. And my goodness, it was disgusting. It felt really good. It felt really weird. It's almost like putting, you know, salt down and having a, you know, salt bath,
like the Epsom
in a sense. Yeah. But it was some type of something. And it was, I don't know, my feet were seeking things out that didn't know existed or something.
Oh gosh. I forgot about all of these things. So I had you do all those things with kind of without your consent. I was like, I kind of signed you up for this, but then you got on board, like you said, with the reflexology.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with acupuncture, because I'd seen the results.
Yeah. From,
and I didn't know if it was just the acupuncture, just the reflexology, or a combination of the two, but I didn't want to take any chances. And if we had a chance, a better chance to conceive through IUI or even IVF, I wanted to give everything that I possibly could the old college try, honey.
Oh, the old college try. Oh my gosh, that's something your mom always used to say. Mm-hmm. So is there anything too that you would want to talk to a couple listening right now who is probably in the midst of infertility, maybe the wife or one of the partners is getting a little obsessive about what they can and cannot do and trying to control the situation, themselves, their spouse, their partner? What's something that you would want them to know or understand from our experience specifically?
You know, I'm going to go back to our episode that we recorded earlier. Just make sure that you're having an open line of communication. The last thing you want to do is start forcing things upon your spouse that they either aren't on board with or they haven't done their own research on. And so, you know, for me, I was researching everything too, right? I mean, as much as I possibly could. Should I wear boxers or briefs? Should I, you know, not sit in a hot tub? Should I not have edamame? Should I...
Do you remember that thing I bought for your computer to sit on your lap?
Yes.
So that your lap wouldn't overheat from the computer?
Yes. It was actually pretty sweet because I still used it, you know, even after we had kids. But it was a laptop pad that's...
It was great. So all those things that I was trying to do and control in you, obviously you did because you loved me.
I still do.
You did because you love me. Obviously we figured it out and we worked through things. What I took away and what I'm learning from this now on the back end is that no amount of control I had over you or your testicles, and no amount of control I had over the situation or my body while trying to conceive actually supported it or helped me. It almost made it worse and more intense and more stressful and put a lot of pressure on you, Mark, and put a lot of pressure on me. And I feel like we stopped enjoying some of the things that we absolutely love that maybe would have made trying to conceive more fun or the experience or the wait a little bit more fun.
Right.
So any parting words?
If you don't have a dog, get one.
Yeah, you can hear her in the background.
The only parting words that I would have are, you know, as you're going through it, just remember that, you know, your spouse is also going through something. And if one person's extremely intense and the other one's a little more lax like I was, you know, give them time, allow them to come to that conclusion, you know. Ultimately, you know, with Andrea and I, our goal was to get pregnant. She just wanted to go, you know, 100 miles faster than I did.
Yeah. And I've talked about this in some of my previous episodes, too, is that my personality and my mentality is like, go, 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 go. And to this day, relaxing is super hard for me. I feel like...
Except
on the acupuncture table. Well, but it was productive relaxing.
Yes.
You know, I was productively doing something, which is a fault in me. I get that. But I was so go, 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 go that relaxing to me was like failure, or it was a waste of valuable time, which in
In
hindsight, that is not the case.
Not the case at all. You need that time to relax. Mm-hmm. And
the other parting words are, you know, get healthy, you know, whatever that means to you. You know, if it means losing weight, if it means, you know, learning to not graze around the dinner table like I do, if it means, you know, reducing alcohol intake, if it means sleeping better. I mean, just find out what health means to you and get healthier to prepare your bodies, both spouses, not just, you know, men, but also the women out there. That would be some of my parting words.
Right. And get crystal clear together on what you want, and knowing that you can't just do everything in one night and just completely change every habit.
Right.
Let's like pick one or two things and like go from there. So, okay. Well, that is all for today. Have a great day.
I will. You too.
Thank you for pressing play today. If you found value in today's episode, or feel that someone in your life could use a burst, share this episode on social media. Don't forget to tag me in it so I can give you a shout out. Or send it to your husband, a friend, or even your mom right now. Sometimes we need to share what resonates with us so other people can understand too. And remember, maybe it's time to stop being afraid of what can go wrong and start being excited about what can go right. You've got this. You are doing a great job. Until next time.